Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by Army Wife Network Core Team. This is show number 481, and I'm your host, Allison Poulter.
And I'm your co-host, Mallory Mayer. Today is Monday, July 21st, 2014. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
There's always a party going on over here at Army Wife Network. So if you're listening to our show live right now, join us in their Twitter party chat. It's a fun, easy way to follow our chat. We use TweetChat, so tune in over at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR and open tweetchat.com/room/Army Wife. Besides the awesome chat and great guests, we have giveaways, and you'll only catch on Twitter, so you won't want to miss out. You can also follow along at twitter.com/Army Wife Network using the hashtag Army Wife to participate. So we'll do a couple fun giveaways. You never know what you're going to find over there, and some interesting information about all of us.
That's right. And tonight's show is brought to you by your AWN Core Team. We are all a very dedicated group of volunteers with a plethora of interests. And you can learn more about the Core Team with Core Team Tuesdays on Instagram, or you can follow us individually on Twitter. You can learn more about us from our personnel files at armywifenetwork.com.
That's right. And tonight on the radio show, I am super, super excited. We have singer-songwriter all the way from Nashville, Jamie Tate, and she's going to talk to us about giving back to the troops through music. So we're super excited. You can follow Jamie over at Jamie Tate, JamieTate, or over on facebook.com/JamieTateMusic. We are super excited. I can't wait to interview her. She's going to be great.
Yes, she will.
Before we get over to that, though, you and I have never hosted before, Mallory, and I'm super excited that we get to do it tonight.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this, and this is only my second time, I think, to co-host. So, yeah.
Well, so you're a seasoned veteran, and this is my first time to co-host with you and to run some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. So we'll get through it, and it'll be fantastic. So what's been going on with you?
A lot. I finally feel like I'm totally immersed in the Army life. A lot has happened since the last time I co-hosted. My husband came back from deployment. We had our church wedding, our honeymoon, and we PCS'd to Fort Huachuca. So a bunch of stuff happened in such a short amount of time, finally catching my breath. And it's been great to actually be together, live together, and, like, you know, be here and
the real deal.
Adventure. Yeah, it's the real deal. So I've been busy, but not over the top busy like I was before. It definitely was detrimental to my health, how I was running my life before. So I've slowed down a little bit, but I'm still involved in a lot. I've gotten plugged into stuff here, like the Spouse Club, and we're here. My husband's going through the MI Captain's Career course. So we're only here for a short amount of time, and I wanted to meet as many people as I could and get plugged into as many things as possible since I don't have that much time. So, everyone here has been so friendly. It reminds me of Texas, and the mountains are beautiful. We've been getting rain. It's monsoon season, so it's a little cooler. And I've been running my own business finally full-time. I'm teaching health and wellness classes, and so I'm loving that. I joined Toastmasters on Toast. That's been fun. And we're
what
doing Financial Peace University.
What is that?
Toastmasters, it's an international organization, and it's basically learning how to be a better public speaker. And I've always been really scared of talking in front of people, and so I thought, I need to work on this, and so I joined. So it's been fun.
Awesome.
So yeah, just a lot of stuff going on, and I'm sure there's a lot going on your end, too. I know you had a birthday.
We did. Helen is so she doesn't turn three until Thursday, but my mom came down this weekend, so we all got to celebrate, and I was making this ridiculous, I don't know why I just didn't go to Baskin-Robbins, but I didn't, and I made this huge ice cream cake, and, like, cake on the bottom, chocolate chip cookie layer, huge thing of ice cream in the middle, melted it, froze it, more cookies, and a whole bunch of whipped cream on the top. It was, and then I had to clean out a portion of the freezer so that it would fit and nothing would touch it, but it was fine, and she loved it, so it was super fun. We had a really good weekend with my mom, so it was a lot of fun.
Aw, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, and it was nice to be here for a whole weekend, because last weekend was the rocket launch, right? So the rocket launch was delayed, and then we get there, and I was part of this whole NASA social thing. So we're doing it, and people had come from, like, all over the country, all over the world. There were people from China and all Nebraska and California. So they'd all paid for, like, hotel rooms and flights to be here, and the rocket was supposed to launch last Saturday, and then it didn't. And then they delayed it until Sunday because of the weather. So all of these people were freaking out. And I was really cool because I lived 45 minutes from where the rocket was taken off. And I was like, oh, just hang out another day. It's cool. But I ended up having a house guest from Nebraska, and the kids and my husband went down and watched from a different vantage point. So we all got to, it was amazing. NASA Social is an amazing thing, and if you live in a coastal community, you should totally look them up because they let you come and blog and take pictures and do whatever you want about the rockets. It's awesome. Awesome.
That's really cool. I've always wanted to see a rocket launch. That would be really neat.
It was like, so my husband is a tanker. And it was like 1,000 tanks firing the main gun round at the same time. And you could feel it beneath your feet, and you could hear it for miles. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Oh, wow. You'll always remember that experience.
I hope so. And I hope my kids do. Like, I'm sure my little one won't. But my son, he's almost six, he was totally into it and, like, big into spaceships now and wants to see all the pictures that I took, and he's so into it. So it was fun.
My brother used to want to be an astronaut, and we went to both the Kennedy Space Center in Florida and then the one in Houston, and he just loved that. So it was, like, the best thing.
So now we're on this mission to go to others at other places, so we'll see.
Cool.
We'll see. Yeah, Charlie, he went, so we did the rocket launch, and then my son went to his second week of the summer for camp, and it was space-themed, so I was super psyched. Like, I sent him with all the, like, swag I got, and because you got some really cool stuff, like a patch and pin and a lanyard, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent him, but it was it's a YMCA camp, and I adore our YMCA. Like, I think it is the most stellar thing in our community. But I thought it was going to be like space camp. You know, they learn about the constellations, and they play the video of the rocket launch, and I was going to go talk. No. They did stuff with, like, aliens. Like, they played, like, you know, like Monster Mash Foursquare out in the ball field, and they played, like, catch the alien and pin the eyeballs on the alien. It wasn't anything, like, scientific at all, so I was a little disappointed. He had a blast, but it was not really what I was sort of hoping for. Probably
That's
more from my
funny.
Face, but I just wanted to go talk to the little kids and tell them about my rocket launch, and actually he had fun, so that's all that matters, but whatever. Whatever. So what else is going on? You feel like you've got your feet underneath of you?
Yeah.
You like Arizona?
Another thing I'm going to start in August is I'm going to start going back to school to get my nursing degree. So that's been something I've been thinking about for about 3 years. And I'm finally going to start my pre-rec classes. Yep.
That's fantastic. What sort of a nurse do you want to be?
My goal right now is to go for RN. That, and then I love nutrition and all that kind of stuff, so maybe adding in something like that, or functional medicine is another thing I love, where you look at the whole person, like you're not just looking at one thing, so you consider everything. So incorporating that with the nursing stuff. So I have a lot of stuff up my sleeve.
That's fantastic. So you're officially starting. So you've gotten into school.
Right? Yeah, right now it's just prerequisite classes. So I'm not actually in the nursing program, but I'm taking a biology course and a pharmacology course this semester. So.
Now, this totally do not sound like what I took in college. You are taking real classes, and I took water aerobics.
Well, my bachelor's is in music, so I didn't have to take any science. So this is, I haven't taken science since high school, so almost 10 years ago.
All right. Oh, it's going to be awesome. I'm so glad that you found, like, your space, and you've gotten your feet and your, because you are a force to be reckoned with. You are everything that any Army wife could ever want. Like, you take all the resources, and you're like a big sponge. And I think it's so cool that now you're getting to do what you've been soaking up all this time. I think it's awesome.
Oh, thanks. I love it. I love this life, so make the best of it and while we can. So.
All right. Well, you want to hit it? We'll do a quick commercial break, and then we will come back, and we'll do some hot on AWTR and over at, see what's going on over at the social roundup. Want to do that for a while? So we will be back in just a moment.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
Hey, so check it out.
All right, we're back, everybody. So this week, and I am super excited that this took off the way it did, this girl is completely legit. Her name is Casey Catanzano, and she is the first woman to complete American Ninja Warrior's finale course. She is 5 feet tall. She is maybe 95 pounds soaking wet with all of her clothes on, and she went to Tufts University in Maryland, which is where I went, where I'm from. So she's really big here around town because she's a local. And she just demolished this course. Like, she beat 6'2 grown men that were 3 times. She's just amazing. So you should go check out her course crushing over at people.com and really any other social network. BuzzFeed has it. Everybody's got it. But Casey Catanzano crushed it over at Ninja Warrior. So she's a good representative for some strong women.
That's insane. I'm 5 feet, and I don't think I could do that.
She was not.
Pretty awesome.
And didn't even, like, look tired at the end. Like, she totally looked like she could have done it again.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay, so what was hot on AWN this week? Not to toot my own horn, but apparently my blog post was popular, the way things turn out post. And in it, I reminded everyone that it's the people who focus on the positive that will come out on top. And so I shared my insights in maintaining a good outlook on the military life, and that can make all the difference. So go check it out over at Loving the Soldier, and we'll have the link in our Twitter party.
That is totally true. So this week's resource of the week was over on our social media and blew up over there, too. AWN's YouTube channel, Army Family MWR, Morale, Welfare, and Recreation, vision is to be a team of professionals providing soldiers and families quality programs and services to promote resiliency and strength for our Army and their families. Check it out here over at YouTube.com. You can find it over on ArmyWiveNetwork.com, too.
Okay. Well, last but not least, it's public service announcement time. And do your business have a military-related PSA, we limit one per show, and we ask for them 10 days in advance, and they can be emailed to info@armywifenetwork.com. And this week's PSA is from the JW Marriott San Antonio Hill Country Resort and Spa. And they are saluting active duty members of the U.S. military and current federal government employees with exclusive room rates available now through October. The salute to service packages are available for resort stays with and without golf at TPC San Antonio, a PGA Tour course available to members and guests only. Various packages are available with resort room rates ranging between $110 and $229 per room per night. Active duty military and government employees are asked to request the salute to service rate using promotional code GOV, as in Victor, when they make their room reservations at Marriott.com or by calling the toll-free reservations number 866-882-4420. A military or government ID is required at check-in. All rates are based on availability plus taxes and no other discounts apply. This is a personal plug here. My husband and I, when we travel, we love staying at Marriott. So this is a great thing. So coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is AWN's New 6th Gen, bringing you the Need to Know stories. We'll be right back.
I'll pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Gen giving you your Need to Know news. In our top story, TRICARE broadens its mental health care coverage. Starting August 18th, TRICARE beneficiaries will have access to 5 mental health counselors and supervised mental health counselors. This will help ensure that no matter where our beneficiaries may be living, they can access the services of a mental health counselor and still receive high-quality mental health care, said Dr. John Davison, the Behavioral Health Branch Chief of the Defense Health Agency. The changes were made as a result of TRICARE goals to standardize care despite license criteria variation in different states. Beneficiaries can access the services of both types of mental health counselors through TRICARE's managed care support contractors. Davison emphasized that the new rule creates no disruption to beneficiaries' current care or services. If they're receiving care from a supervised mental health counselor and they like that counselor, he said, they may continue to do so and TRICARE will reimburse those claims. In our next story, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti announces an initiative to help homeless vets. This week, at the Unite for Veterans Summit in Los Angeles, First Lady Michelle Obama praised a new initiative by LA's Mayor Eric Garcetti to assist transitioning veterans through employment and support resources. initiative involves commitments from 150 businesses and public sector organizations that aim to hire 10,000 vets by 2017. In conjunction with United Way and the Chamber of Commerce, Los Angeles has united public and private partners to launch Home for Good, which has housed more than 9,000 veterans since 2011. Voters and legislators in California have also voted to authorize $600 million toward housing for veteran families, the largest state-funded effort in the country. All we have to do is show just a fraction of the courage and commitment that our veterans have shown all of us, the First Lady said. We just have to keep veterans in mind when we're hiring for that next open spot. We just have to make sure they have a place to call home. In our last story, lawmakers on Capitol Hill work to revamp the VA healthcare system. Congress and its Veteran Affairs committees have been pushing to swiftly resolve the healthcare wait time crisis that is affecting tens of thousands of veterans, but the process seems to have hit a roadblock. The holdup centers on the showpiece of both the Senate and House bills that the VA will make private sector healthcare available for care longer than 30 days or live more than 40 miles from a VA care facility. The trouble goes beyond cost, though they are considerable. One of the biggest challenges we have with purchased care in the community is maintaining continuity of care for the veteran, VA Acting Secretary Sloan Gibson said. The ability to get medical record information back and forth is a vital part of this to ensure the quality of care. I will tell you, if the floodgates open, it will present the department with challenges. The VA's new plan to address the wait time crisis includes expanding VA medical staff by 10,000 personnel, including 1,500 physicians over the next 3 years. The VA also wants more facility space to provide direct care, so the VA is asking Congress to fund 8 large medical facilities from the VA's construction backlog list, support leases for 77 more outpatient clinics, and cover minor construction and maintenance projects that would open even more space. But at the end of the day, Senator Mike Johannes, freedom to make their own choice about their health care. Senator Bernie Sanders, chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, expressed confidence that conferees will reach a deal in time to get a final bill passed before Congress goes on its August break. Those of you who need to know news stories for this week, stay tuned to the Army Wife Network Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Jen signing out.
Remember when you saw the homeless woman in the snow and you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you saw the news report about wounded soldiers and you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all those times you almost helped? You meant to, but somehow you forgot. You were too busy and it slipped your mind. Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But if you almost gave, there's a good chance everybody else almost gave, too, which means it's quite possible there was no soup kitchen at all, that no one visited those vets, and that your neighbor never got that hot meal. Because almost giving is the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. To find out how, visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. This message brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website www.armywifenetwork.com or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Allison Poulter.
And I'm your co-host, Mallory Mayer. And we're running a little ahead of schedule today, and I wanted to apologize to people. If you're on tweet chat, it seems to be having some issues tonight. So just hop on over to twitter.com and still use the hashtag ArmyWife, but we're still there. So,
I am. Tonight we have with us country recording artist and military ambassador Jamie Tate. Jamie has had a whirlwind schedule for her 2014 season and also continues to team up with the USO. to provide entertainment for military families performing at such events as the Walter Reed Medical Center's Winterfest and the annual USO Patriotic Festival held in May. Jamie first broke onto the country charts in 2009 with her debut single, One Beer Away from Loving You, which spawned a custom 12-ounce line dance in the dance club and a top 15 single on the European charts. Jamie also continues her I'll Give My All campaign, which aims to distribute 1 million free music downloads to current and former service members around the world. She has already sold over 150,000 music downloads towards the goal. We are so pleased to have Jamie Tate here with us this evening. Welcome, Jamie. Are you there?
I am. Hey, girls.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
We are doing super great. We're so glad that you're here with us tonight. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in North Carolina and kind of did music my whole life and also was pretty studious. So I continued on through school and college and actually became a lawyer here in North Carolina and then decided that I wanted to head to Nashville and kind of go with my real passion, which was music. So I live in Nashville, Tennessee now and work a lot in the military. And I'm actually calling in from back home at my parents' house this weekend. I get to come back to North Carolina very often, but I just so happen to come back now. I'm spending a little family time this weekend.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, tell us a bit how you got started in music. I was looking at your website, and you started at a very, very young age. So was this something that was in your family or that you kind of just you were passionate about and you wanted to do yourself? So tell us more about that.
So I think it probably had to do a little bit, you know, with my dad. He used to do some songwriting back in the early 90s, so I would have been a small child. And so he kind of brought me into that when they noticed that I enjoyed, you know, singing at every family event. So my first performance, I was 4 years old, and it was on stage at a bar. Yes, I was in a bar at 4 years old. But it was one of those kind of like entertainment places where a lot of the big stars sang before they hit the big time. So I kind of started out under his wing, I would say. And then from there on out, I kind of just, I did everything I could. I sang in church. I sang in community choirs. I sang in school. And I did everything. I even went to music school for high school so I could focus on my, you know, my love for music. And then I took a little bit of a break during college and really focused on my studies. And then it was right after college that I knew that I kind of, it's kind of like that feeling of like, you know, you're supposed to be doing something else, but you need to do this first. So I knew I needed to do college first, but it was shortly after that that I was like, okay, my heart's in music. I gotta do something. So.
Well, Jamie, you have this twang in your voice that is going to lead me to lead our listeners to where you're from and what your music sound is. But I don't think it's typically what you think of when you think of country. I feel like you are sort of a newer sound. Can you describe your sound for us? Who your influences were and your particular, you know, who you are?
So being raised in a small town in North Carolina, you kind of get this, you know, the accent just kind of comes naturally. and so I don't know if there's ever been a particular, person or instance of kind of where I can pinpoint my sound. It kind of grew over time. And I try to mask it a little bit so it doesn't get too thick of an accent, but I can't really go anywhere without people, you know, asking, where are you from? So I'm from a small town called Asheboro, North Carolina. And it's actually kind of grown quite a bit since I was younger. Like, they just passed alcohol a couple years ago. So we were like the largest county east of the Mississippi who had no alcohol. I mean, you couldn't get beer, wine, nothing. So just a couple years ago is when our small town started allowing that
that kind of cell. So that kind of explains how small town it is. But, you know, throughout my life of singing, I just kind of came into this, like, twang that is completely a natural twang. And it comes out more, honestly, when I sing than most of the time when I'm talking. And, you know, I try to kind of tone it down sometimes so that it's not too strong, but it's natural, so it just kind of happens.
I think it's funny that you came from a dry county and your first hit was One Beer Away From
yeah.
Loving You. I think that's
yeah.
pretty awesome. Was that on purpose or did that just happen?
No, actually, you're one of the first people that has brought that to my attention, but it completely makes sense because, you know, being in the dry county, you often got a little bit more rebels than if you would have just let it happen. So maybe I wasn't really quite a rebel child. I'm probably a little bit more rebellious now than I was even as a teenager, but that is funny, yeah. My first song, the first release was, you know, One Beer Away From Loving You, so I guess.
I think it's funny. Who did you listen to when you were growing up? Who were your favorites?
Oh, so I'm a huge, like, early 90s country fan. Like, I kind of feel like
yes.
that, you know, I mean, obviously I listen to, like, old country, like, you know, your Loretta Lynn, Patsy Cline, and Johnny Cash. I mean, everybody kind of listens to some of that old stuff. But I was a big, like, Reba, Vince Gill, you know, Randy Travis, you know, kind of those, to me, are, like, iconic country artists.
Amen. Garth Brooks could have sat in my bathtub and just sang to me forever, and I would have been a happy girl.
I know, right?
And Trisha and the two of them together, in my head, they were together way long before they said they were together. Anyway.
Well,
hey,
just
Mally, you have an update, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, I do. About TweetChat, it's back up. It's running fine. So we're all back over at TweetChat using hashtag ArmyWife. So, Jamie, where do you get your ideas when you're writing songs? Like, where does that inspiration come from?
I think I'd probably, it might sound cliche, you know, like most songwriters would say, is it really does, for me, come from something that has related to a personal experience. You know, it's so much easier to write about heartbreak when you've just been heartbroken, or it's so easy to write about, you know, happy, exciting lifetimes when you're going through happy times. So I feel that I tend to write songs that are kind of an indication of where I am in life, which I think allows me to have a little bit more of an intimate feel with my music, because, you know, there are definitely times when I'm writing and I'm, you know, crying while I'm writing. It's you know, it's like a mini therapy session for free in a way. So it's weird, like, you know, I mean, obviously sometimes you'll sit down with another songwriter or a friend and they'll be like, hey, let's write something happy, and you can try, but, you know, usually you need to kind of go with your gut. And I feel like I kind of do that. I kind of go with how I'm feeling that day or that week or that month, to kind of pull so that my listeners have like a true sense and a feeling of what I've written.
And so how does the process of writing songs go for you? Like, do you think of the words first, or does the melody come to you?
I would say either or. I tend to like to write with other people. I don't play, you know, instruments, like, too much. I grew up playing piano and can tinker on the guitar. But, you know, for me, I'm much more about the words, and I feel like, So I usually, words come to me a lot faster than the musical part of it. But sometimes, I mean, gosh, I can be driving along in my car and just start humming a line and a tune, you know, and I always will pull out my cell phone and, like, record it really fast. So, you know, the next day I can sit down and try to write it or something. So, it's kind of a hit or miss. Sometimes you'll get a little melody stuck in your head and you're like, oh, my gosh, this cannot get out of my head until I write it. So fine, I'm going to sit down and write it. So either way, really.
That's awesome. I've always imagined I can actually write music.
Jamie, do you remember your first song? You said you were four and you were singing in a bar. So do you remember
your
very first song and what it was about?
So I wrote, growing up, I actually didn't write music. I wrote a lot of, like, poetry and poems and stuff like that, so which kind of goes along with my whole thing of how words come easier to me. So growing up, I actually did not write songs. I'm one of those oddities that I sang a lot, and I was in all these choirs, and but I wrote poems, and I had, you know, notebooks. But so the actual first song I ever wrote would have been a little bit more recent. It would have been like 2008. And it's a song called Daddy Let's Dance. And it was actually a song that I wrote with my dad because my, you know, my dad did some songwriting back in the day. And we wrote it for my wedding at the time. And so it's actually out there for sale. It's getting quite popular in the wedding industry because it's a great father-daughter song, and it's slow and a little waltz, so it's pretty easy for dads and daughters to dance to that, you know, dads may have two left feet. so that was like the first song that I actually sat down, wrote full on, went into a studio, recorded. That was the first one.
Do you write with him often, Jamie? Or has it just been that one time?
No, he wrote, he's one of the writers on I'll Give My All. But other than that, I think we've only written, I think maybe one other song together, which reminds me, we're probably due to sit down and write sometime.
That's fantastic that you have a musical family and sort of that musical background to push you along when you may need a couple words to fill in some spaces. That's awesome.
He is a great support system in that sense. Like, I know I can always take a song to him and say, you know, hey, I'm kind of stuck on this, and he'll give me some ideas, and, you know, he's like, oh, you don't have to put me as a writer. I'm not on the song. Don't worry. You don't have to pay me. Just here, take
aww.
The word. So,
but you can take me out to dinner when it goes platinum.
Yeah. Until then, Dad still buys dinner.
So, Jamie, while we're talking about those, like, the process of writing songs and the inspiration and how you started, what is your advice to young artists or aspiring artists who want to get into what you're doing?
This may sound it may sound shocking, but I would say get an education first. And as much as I want to give great advice about the music industry and the work it takes to get into the business, and, you know, I'll always tell people, you know, sing and do everything you can and community events and to build your repertoire and to build your voice. And the more you sing, the more it helps you find what voice you have. But I'm a huge proponent of education. So I always tell my young fans, like, you know, it can wait. I promise. The music business will still be there in 4 years after college, or, you know, I promise it will still be there, and you will still have your voice, and you will still have a chance. So as much advice as I can give about the music business, I feel like the education is, like, the best advice that I could give.
Jamie, so
yeah,
you're an attorney, right? Did you take the bar and pass that you're a lawyer?
Yes, I took the bar in Tennessee, so I technically am a licensed attorney in Tennessee, which comes in handy when you're trying to write your own music contracts. But,
right, or like show contracts, I would imagine.
Yeah, but, you know, I tell people, I'm like, don't worry, I'm not like one of those nerdy attorneys. Not that there's anything wrong with nerdy attorneys, but. So,
I
think
that's
probably
like
why.
Do you feel like that is surprising to people? Like, if you're walking into a club and you are working on a contract to play for them, do they seem surprised that you are a barred and certified attorney?
And I think that it honestly, there's a level of kind of, I don't want to say respect, because respect isn't necessarily the word. It's kind of like this level of, you can't mess with me, you know, I know what these words on the paper mean, you know, you can't take advantage of me, so shoot me straight, tell me what's up, you know. So there's this kind of a understanding of being a little bit more business-minded, because it is so much fun to be an artist. It is. I mean, being on stage is one of the best feelings that I feel like you can have when you feel like your heart is a performance heart. But there's so much work that goes into getting a little bit of stage time. And so I always tell people it's that behind-the-scenes work that nobody ever sees, the hours that you put in working business deals, the hours you put in working sponsorship contracts. You know, it's all of that work that goes into being able to even stand on the stage that is so important for an artist to know what's going on. And so I think that's kind of why I'm kind of like a big education proponent. And that sounds so boring. I know some of my younger fans are like, oh, that's so not cool. And I'm like, well, I promise it will be cool one day when you need it. So I don't know. I try to make sure that they realize that I'm not like, you know, a boring, nerdy girl, although I kind of was that way. But
I just feel like it's a superpower that you have, like, in your back. Because I don't look at, like, country – I don't look at any music artist and be like, I bet they've got a doctorate or I bet they've got a JD. And you do, and I feel like that's an – like, it's an unexpected, like, superpower that you've got in your back pocket. I think that's so incredible.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't say superpower, but I do – it is really awesome. Like, I feel like – you know, there's been a part of me that is like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't tell people. I don't want them to think I'm, you know, not, you know, that music isn't my first love, and I'm so hesitant. Like, but at the end of the day, I'm proud of that. It takes a lot of hard work to go through something like that, and so I always encourage, you know, my younger fans to stick with it, and I think that it's neat that they can see that I'm doing music and doing what I love and having a blast at it, but that, you know, I also put in the hard work beforehand.
Amen.
Yeah, that's all. I totally agree with all that. That's wonderful. So where's your favorite place to perform at in Nashville? What's your favorite venue?
Oh, I mean, I think that you would have to say the Bluebird. I mean, the Bluebird is just the infamous, you know, songwriter's place to perform. And I had the privilege of performing there when I first came to town. And it is just one of those – I know if people watch the show Nashville, then you've heard of them, you know, working at the Bluebird. And it really is just this little bitty hole in the wall in, like, a strip mall. I mean, it's a small place, but it is – so, you know, it's got so much history and so much, you know, musician, you know, energy in that place. I think that definitely has to be one of the best feeling places.
That's fantastic. So we have a whole bunch more talking to do, but I would love for our listeners to hear you, and then we'll talk about your partnership with the USO. What do you think of that?
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay, so we're going to go to a break, so stick with us. Everybody stick with us. But before we go, I want you to hear Jamie Tate's I'll Give My All.
They called my dad to fight a war. I was only 3. He came back to our small town, a hero to me. He knew the odds and the price that he might pay, but that's the cost of freedom. He proudly stood to say, come on. his eyes I've never seen before. Please don't worry, Daddy. You know I'll be okay. But it's my time to serve. It's now.
Love where you live. When you move into a Corvius home, you'll find more than just convenient on-post housing at 7 Army installations across the country. You'll also find fun family events, upscale fitness centers, resort-style pools, and more. Our award-winning customer service, 24-hour maintenance, and smiling faces are just waiting to welcome you. Love your next home at CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. That's CorviusMilitaryLiving.com.
This is Maria Murphy with Simply Put Together and the Me Minute. This month we're talking about finding your laugh track. We all know that laughing makes us happy, but research has proven that laughing physiologically makes us feel better. The contractions in our stomach release endorphins the same way that exercise releases endorphins. The end result is we physically feel good. So find what makes you laugh and feed it to yourself every day. Whether it's a blog writer you love, a favorite movie, YouTube, just hanging out with your friends, make a list of what works for you and make sure you get a little of it each and every day. To get more tips and tools, you can go to simplyputtogether.com or you can contact me at Maria Murphy Counseling if you're interested in my coaching services. But in the meantime, make your laugh track and make sure to spend some time this month every single day getting some laugh time.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're talking with singer-songwriter Jamie Tate. Before we went to break, we were talking about I'll Give My All, and we got to listen to that beautiful performance. So, Jamie, now I want to talk to you about the I'll Give My All project and giving back to those that serve. Can you tell us a little bit about your alliance with the UFO, how it came to be, where you got the idea from, how all of it happened? Can you share that with us?
Yeah, you know, the song, I probably should start a little bit about, like, where the song started. I heard the idea from a lady called Renee Griffiths back in, like, 2001, right after September 11th, and I held on to it. At the time, I was in school, and I held on to the idea, and I was just like, you know, one day when I do something in music, I want to do something with this song. And, you know, it's like 10 years later that I was working with a record label out of Nashville, and I said, you know, I was like, hey, guys, there's this song that I, you know, this idea and thing that I had from back in 2001, and I kind of want to do something with it. So we sat down and decided to turn it into not just a song, but just a whole project, a project to give back through music with free music downloads to the men and women that serve or have served our country. So we put this project together, and we decided that we wanted to bring a chorus on it. So you just heard the 82nd Airborne All-American Chorus on the track with me. So we decided to go to Fort Bragg, which is where they're based out of, and Pope Air Force Base, and shoot a music video, which just turned out beautifully. You can see it on the website. It's, if you just go to jamietatemusic.com, it's on there as well as YouTube. And when we decided to start turning this into a project and doing this music video, you know, we reached out to the USO, and they definitely, they wanted to get involved, and they wanted to be a part of the project. So the USO is one of my major organizations that I work with and give back to. So for every download that I sell, a portion of the proceeds goes back to the USO. And I got started with the USO branch of North Carolina, which is where I was from and where we shot the video. But since then, I've been working with the USO on a national level. And so anytime I'm on tour, I try to stop in all of the USO branches I can and do little performances for them, for the men and women that are at the branch. And I kind of do different events with them throughout the year. And part of the proceeds go back. So if any of the listeners want to purchase any of the downloads on the website, you can purchase one for yourself, or you can purchase 10, and we will actually take those 10 and give them out to men and women that are, you know, have served our country at my shows. And a portion of the proceeds that we make from those sales goes back to the USO.
That's awesome. And the USO is wonderful, so it's great that you're partnering with them on the campaign. So aside from that, the I'll Give My All campaign, what other organizations do you work with?
So through my military work, I've worked with quite a number of organizations, whether it be Operation Coming Home. I worked with the Kangaroo Express Salute Our Troops tour last year. I've just started working with an organization called Healing Heroes Network and Harleys for Heroes. And Harleys for Heroes I'm super excited about because next year in the spring we're going to be giving away a patriotic-themed Harley Davidson. So they're an organization that I'm really excited to partner with. I've also partnered with Red Roof Inn, the national hotel chain. They are quite active with military discounts for their hotel chain and work a lot with me going around to the different military events that I do. So I've teamed up with them. I've done some work with Wounded Warriors. Oh, goodness, let's see.
There's a lot.
Oh, the Fisher House Foundation is another one that I have just fallen in love with. This past year while I've been on tour, I've been stopping in the Fisher houses. And if you haven't heard of Fisher House, where they put families up in these homes while their loved ones are in the hospital. And so it's kind of like the Ronald McDonald House, but it's for the military. And they are an amazing organization. I mean, every penny that comes in the door for their organization goes straight back into their homes. So they're definitely an organization that I've loved teaming up with as well. So, you know, my heart, I'm not from a military family. You know, I think my grandfather has served and my uncle and a few cousins, but my direct family isn't military. And so when I first got started in this I'll Give My All project and song, I was a little bit nervous because I had not grown up around it. But I've never felt more welcome, and I've never really felt my heart's passion more than I have with working with the military. So I am here to stay. Y'all have all taken me into y'all's homes and into your, you know, your ears listening to my music. And it's definitely a path that I love. So I plan on over the next couple of years teaming up with a lot more organizations as we continue forward with the song and the project.
Jamie, that was just what I was going to ask you. So you, it sounds like you really have found the best of the best of our lives. So the Fisher House and the Wounded Warrior and the USO and all of those groups. Harley's for Heroes is one of my favorites because I just love their niche. I love that they appeal to the riders, and I've worked with them on some things. They're just amazing. But it seems like you found, like, the best of the best. So what is your, after all of these soldiers return from war, ideally, where would you like to see your relationship with the military go? Like, what is your dream partnership? What is your dream relationship with the military community and your music, or you personally?
You know, my...
So crappy, I'm sorry.
The place that my heart is tugged, one of the strongest places, is with PTSD. And it's tugged there because I feel like so many times we focus on the soldiers right as they come home. You know, we have these welcome home parties. We have these, you know, these parades. And for me, it's like, you know, 3 months later, 6 months later, you know, when all the confetti has washed away and now they're just back home, that's when the struggle really is and really starts. And those are often the times where these soldiers are forgotten. And so my goal through music is to partner with organizations who acknowledge that that is a huge issue with the, you know, with the large number of our soldiers who are coming home. So any organizations that are open-minded and open-armed to the soldiers who suffer and the families that suffer too, because it's not, you know, it's a whole family thing. And oftentimes I know when I'm at like the Fisher House, I tell them, you know, this is for the family, because oftentimes y'all wives and the husbands or the children are so affected by not only their spouse being overseas, but are so affected when their spouse comes home and there are changes that they weren't necessarily prepared for. And I feel like even though I'm in music and I'm the way that I contribute is through song, I really want to team up with organizations who that is their focus as we move forward.
Amen.
If that makes sense.
It makes absolutely
that's a very
total,
serious
yes,
answer.
It makes
you know,
sense.
It's just a serious answer to, you know, it's something that I want, you know, to help have music be something to help lighten the situation, but it is a very serious concern of mine.
Well, but I feel like you are in a perfect place because you have such a creative outlet, and I feel like a lot of our soldiers and their families who have issues with PTSD and need a creative outlet where they're not judged and it can just kind of pour out of them, songwriting has really become one of those great ways to help soldiers deal with those issues. So I feel like you're poised in such a great spot to really be impactful and really make a difference with those that suffer from PTSD and the families that help them along the way.
Yes, and I definitely intend, I mean, I think one of my goals for next year that I'm trying to work out is to have a possible, like, songwriting weekend for soldiers who are interested in that. So whether they come to Nashville and we hook them up with songwriters that are there in Nashville, and we have, you know, a whole weekend where they can use a creative songwriting outlet, regardless if it's, you know, I mean, obviously I lean toward country music, but Nashville, even though it's Music City, I mean, it is, there are all kinds of, you know, genres of music or instruments or anything that, that helps. So that's something that I'm in the process of working on for 2015 to host something like that for them.
Well, Jamie, this has been so wonderful. I can't believe we're out of time, but you've really touched my heart, and I'm sure everyone listening. And thanks for what you do for the military, and I know that you're making a difference. So where can our listeners go to find out more about you?
Well, I would say you can definitely hit up my website, which is jamietatemusic.com. But I'm also on Facebook at Jamie Tate Music and Twitter and Instagram. And those social media outlets, you know, I definitely love interacting with people that want to get involved. And all of my giveaways are on there. So, you know, right now I'm doing a trip to Disney World for a military family that's hosted on my Facebook page. So I would encourage everyone to go and click on my, you know, free Disney trip and sign up for it. And those things are brought to you, yeah, with the partnership with Red Roof Inn. So, you know, I think that Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are going to be the best places to actually interact. And I still handle everything. So if you're tweeting me, it's me tweeting. So I definitely would love to talk to y'all and hear your thoughts and comments and everything.
Awesome. Hey, Jamie, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We're so excited, and from our Army families and all of us Army spouses to you, thank you for being in the limelight and having a bigger voice for a lot of issues that really we feel so passionately about. So thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Oh, well, thank y'all for having me. I've really enjoyed talking with y'all.
All right. Thank you so much, Jamie. Good night.
Thanks. Good night.
All right, y'all, next week, July 28th, 2014, on the show, we are featuring Bob Lauder of MyMobileWatchdog.com, keeping kids safe in a digital age, so you won't want to miss it.
But in the meantime, join us on ArmyWifeNetwork.com, any of our social media outlets like Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, or catch up with one of our many bloggers sharing the journey at LovingASoldier.com.
Or Instagram. We do Instagram, too. Emily loves it.
Oh, yes.
Chelsea loves it. Instagram. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Good night, y'all.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.